What a delight to be able to open to you tonight the Word of God. If you have your Bibles, we'll be looking at Acts chapter 9. I've asked our people back home, pray, will you please? And they said, boy, we will. We will. And I know the hour's late, but you don't have to worry. Juanita, my wife, always watches the time. So if you see her, get up and head to the back. And she'll start this somewhere along the way. You'll know I've gone long enough, and I'll cut her down real quick. A little guy was acting up in church, and the preacher had just gotten up and started preaching. The little guy got rowdier and rowdier. Finally, his mama jerked him up and headed for the back door. As she was going out the door, the little guy grabbed hold of the door and said, pray for me! Pray for me! I sort of feel like that tonight. Pray for me! Pray for me! Acts chapter 9 is one of those passages of Scripture that is well known because of the content of Saul, later Paul, being converted, his life turned around, and lived for Christ. Sort of like David and Goliath in the Old Testament. You want to talk about an exciting portion of Scripture, you can go to that chapter in 1 Samuel, and it's exciting to tell the story. Well, Acts chapter 9 is just full of emotion and excitement as the Spirit of God wrote down for us the record of Saul's conversion, his call, his charge, his unique change, and then his conduct as a believer in Jesus Christ. I will just seek to point your attention to this tonight, and I had to ask myself the question, why, God, did you give special attention to this in Acts 9 and then again in Acts 22 and again in Acts 26? And I couldn't help but sense that God wanted us to be gripped to the depths of our heart that God uses sinful men. God can capture the life of a person, no matter how steeped they are in sin. God can change that life. I don't know about you, but that really excites me. God captured my life as a boy, 9 years old. My sister came downstairs one morning by the old warm morning stove. Mom was baking biscuits and frying meat, whatever it was. Sometimes it's steak, sometimes it's bacon, is all fried. And my sis said, Mom, last night I got saved. And my mom wasn't very emotional, never was. But Mom started to cry. And I was standing there and I said, What'd you say? My sis said, I got saved last night when I went to bed. I asked Christ to become my Savior. I said, what's that? She said, That's what the preacher was talking about yesterday. I said, oh. Oh. She said, maybe you ought to listen, J.O. I said, I will. Oh boy, the next Sunday I was listening. And that preacher talked about Christ and his death and his burial and his resurrection. And I said, man, that's a good idea. I think I'll trust Christ. So when the invitation was given, I was sitting over on the side and I told my dad I wanted to get saved. He said, stand still, son. So boy, I didn't move. We got home, and the first time I ever saw my dad and mom get on their knees and pray for me. And I thought, wow, this really is a big deal. But he wouldn't let me do it. So the next Sunday, it's the way I usually got things done. I watched Dad while he had his eyes shut. And the preacher gave the invitation, I split. And I said, this thing's important. So I got saved. I'll never forget the first words I said, and my dad was right beside me. I said, Dad, why in the world doesn't everybody do this? It took a long time. God was so patient, 11 years before I ever realized what God had really done. And man, wow, what a change. What a change. Well, God is dealing with the Apostle Paul, Saul, at this point, and has written down the record for us, I think, to be inspired and encouraged. And if some of you want to say, woo, boy, don't do it or you'll scare me to death. But just think it, you know, just think it. And we'll respond as unto Christ. Follow along, would you please? In Acts chapter 9, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, interesting how the life in Christ and the early church was termed, this way, unique. If he found any, this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shone round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus. Wow, man. I can see it didn't affect you much. Wow, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Interesting, some of our folks, some people say, well, you know, the church didn't get started until after Paul got saved, and they're sort of Pauline specialists. But Christ said, you're persecuting my church, which is the body of Christ. Good, good. And he said, it's hard for you to kick against the goads. And he, Saul, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, well, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Rise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless. Well, I reckon so. Hearing a voice, but not seeing, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him unto Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, neither did eat nor drink. Pretty dramatic time. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise. Go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. And Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way. For he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And don't you like the response, verse 17? Ananias went and his way entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales. He received his sight and arose and was baptized. And when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples who were at Damascus. And immediately he preached Christ. Oh, man, don't you like that? Immediately, Saul, you got to take a little while to learn. Immediately, he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed. That's a strong word. Who is this? Man, we've heard of him. Ah, and said, Is not this he that destroyed them who called on this name in Jerusalem and came here for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased and with more strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And after many days, were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. Oh! Oh! But their lying in wait was known by Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he tried to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas, boy, we've read of him, haven't we? But Barnabas took him, brought him to the apostles, and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them, coming in and going out at Jerusalem, and he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to kill him. Father, help us as we just take a moment or two to think about what we've read. Your word, your record, for our help, profitable for our learning and for our abounding for you. God, help us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Saul's conversion, we read it. He met Christ. He surrendered to Christ. He was instructed briefly by Christ. Saul was changed in a marvelous way, blinded. That sort of gets your attention, wouldn't it? You young people, I thought maybe you'd be a little more active over there. He is blinded, then he was instructed by Ananias. He was healed. Boy, that's exciting. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. Wow, that's really exciting. You guys are just about as bad as they are in Florida. They just sit and look at me and say, "What's going on, preacher?" Saul was baptized. Don't you like that? In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Zoom, zoom. Man, I was baptized after I got saved. And I never did like, still don't like anybody take hold of me. And I was watching those people in front of me, and I told Dad, "I don't think I want to go through with this." He said, "Go on." So I went down in the water. The preacher was very dignified. He said some words and took hold of the back of my neck and took hold of my hands. And I thought, wow. So when he started down, I got one hand up and grabbed the curtain. Baptized and a curtain got baptized. Wow. Well, Saul was changed. My goodness. I love the record that Paul gives of his own life in Philippians chapter 3, how he was just a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was all sold out for Judaism, but boy, when he met Christ, it all changed. He was all sold out for Christ, and man, you can't read that or think through that without saying, my. Well, Saul was charged by Ananias with the responsibility of taking the gospel to the Gentiles, kings and Jews. And that was his commission task. As we've been learning, the gospel, Christ, proclamation of his death, his burial, his resurrection, all that he had done and tied in with all the Old Testament word about him, now is going to be taken specifically to Gentile peoples. Quite a charge. Saul's conduct, then, just exciting as all get out. He immediately preached Christ. He proclaimed Christ. This one that I have hated. People who have said they believe him, I've hated. And you can read, I wanted to take time to read for you, but I won't. In Acts 22 and Acts 26, how viciously Saul hated believers because they were followers of Christ. Now he preached Christ. Wow. You remember the word, if I, Christ said, be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. The great challenge Paul and to you and I is preach Christ. Wow. Wow. He really abandoned all for Christ. Philippians chapter 3, after Paul told about himself, verse 7. Man, you can turn awful quietly. I know some of you have got those whatever things they are you carry on your lap. Juanita got one of those the other day, and our grandson said, what in the world are you doing with one of those? You're too old for that. And he was right. But in Philippians chapter 3, verse 7, Paul said, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but refuge, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Do you still just bubble in your soul when you think about you being right with God through faith in Christ? Man. All of our sin imputed to him and all of his righteousness imputed to us. Wow. Wow. I want to know him, he said. The power of his resurrection, fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable. Well, it's there. You can read it. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing toward those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Wow. He preached Christ, sold out to Christ. He surprised believers. Did you catch that? When Saul started talking about Christ, they said, whoa, watch him. Better be careful. I'm not sure he's for real. Verse 21, they were amazed, the Bible says. The word simply means they were out of their wits. They said, You ever get like that? My wife's like that a lot. Just, man, what's happened to this guy? Wow. Wow. So listen to Christ. You know, and I'll not go into a great deal of detail, but in verse 22, but Saul increased more in strength and wisdom of Christ. Probably that's where Saul had gone out in the Arabian desert, as he talks about in Galatians chapter 1. And I've tried to imagine, and I can't even get it in my imagination. I'm sort of like one of the gals, one of them and I led to Christ, and we were discipling her and her husband and talking about Christ and how great he is. She said, I can't get my mind around that. I said, that's a great expression. But boy, what would it be like to spend 3.5 years with the risen Christ in the desert, learning? Wow, man! That would almost make you say, wow, man. I went to Moody Bible Institute as with three boys and a wife, and boy, to just sit under the teaching of men of God, an old English teacher, she retired when I left. I really thought when I went to Moody that you ate verbs and chase nouns. Had it all wrong. She said, J.O., I don't think you're going to make it here. Let me help you. I said, boy, help me. But all the thrill of just sitting under the Word of God, by men of God. Paul, I guess, sat with Christ, the risen Christ, and learned. Man, wow, he listened to Christ. He was helped by the disciples. They put him in that elevator and let him down in a basket. That's a humiliating thing. Can you imagine that? Some of you sitting there so sober. Think a little. Man alive. Then they were after him to kill him. They just let him down a window. I don't know what the terrain was like, but phew, man. But they helped him. Barnabas helped him. He joined himself to the apostles. And again, the word is he preached Christ boldly. Have you come to grips with the fact that it's not so much what you say, but how you say it? You know, you could say fire. Or you could say fire. Who do you suppose would respond? How would people respond to that? My mom every morning fixed those biscuits and gravy and eggs and whatever, boy, steaks, bacon, ham. She'd go to the back door and say, Frank! Frank had come sauntering out of the barn with a bale of what do you call those? A bucket of milk. One morning he had gotten her a new stove. It's one of those gasoline stoves. You ever cook with a gasoline stove? Had a pump. You pump the thing up, and then, well, she didn't do it that way, but she'd strike a match and light that thing, and every time you do, go, and Mama every time said, ooh. Well, this time she did it. She must have given it 2 or 3 more. And she struck her match, lit that thing, and she said, Frank! I'll never forget it. I was just a kid, just a kid. Boy, Dad came charging out of that barn. He didn't have any milk in his hand. He didn't have any man. He was charging. It's just the way she said it. Well, Paul, Saul, preached Christ boldly. He said it with some, wow. There are five valuables that I thought to my heart. I said, God, what can I take away from this that'll be helpful to me? And number one, the value of a transformed life. None of us, and I suppose no one, though there are some amazing testimonies, none of us will probably come close to the experience that Saul had with Christ in his conversion. That was a marvelous thing. His life turned around, transformed. But did you know that the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, I beg of you, brethren, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And don't be conformed to this world. Don't let this world dominate you. But be ye, what's the word?
Transformed.
What?
Transformed.
Transformed. That's the same word described of Christ up on the Mount of Transfiguration, where his countenance shone as the brightness of the sun. Be ye. Man. Amen. God just expects me and you to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. When Juanita and I got married, we were kids. My version of the story is I was 9 and she was 16. And she saw me, and man, she couldn't turn loose on me. But that's my version. But Juanita got saved at the age of 14. And we got married, and I told her one day when we were, going to, what was that? We used to go get a quarter hamburger and a nickel Coke. And I said, someday I may be a preacher. And about 10 years after we were married, God called me to preach. And I said, and I wrestled with it, talked to my pastor. And I told Juanita, I said, Juanita, God's called me to preach. She said, what? I said, God's called me to preach. She said, over my dead body. She's not that high. So I went right back to my pastor and I said, boy, she said no. And he, you know what he said? He said, that's okay. I said, really? He said, sure. He said, God called you, he'll call her. He said, you get into the Word and you live there. And I said, man, I did. I became deacon, just a kid, deacon. Man, I knew the Bible, became a teacher. And a couple of times, one time God almost killed her. And I started looking around, wondering what my next wife would look like. One night she came in, and she said, "Ooh, I almost got killed tonight." And after I left for work, I was a milkman, so I was out of there early. She got on her knees and surrendered her life to Christ. But her whole resistance was, what can God do with me? She never prayed in public. She's pretty much good for nothing. But I'll tell you, what a transformation. That started 50 years ago. By the way, we've been married longer than 55 years. It's closer to 116. But she has been a transformed gal, and is day by day, and so exciting to live with and walk with and serve with. Oh, that's what God wants of all of us. We can be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We can think with God. Think on the things of God. I'd love to talk to you about 100 others, but she's starting this business, so... We need to listen to God. We desperately need to listen to God. Saul, listen to God. I've listed on your outline, and I thought they'd have them on there, but they said I was supposed to do that. God said to Joshua, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein." And then, I love that, don't you? "Thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success." You and I need to crave the word of God. We had an old ewe that died giving birth to a lamb. And Dad said, "Well, sonny, we'll have to bottle feed that lamb." So he got a big quart bottle and a nipple to go in that thing. And we'd give it fresh milk from the cow. And you'd go out by the fence and say, "Hoo, sheep, 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 sheep. Hoo, sheep, sheep, sheep." And man, that little lamb would cut out from all of the other sheep, and you'd hold that bottle right down there, close to where it could get into it. And man, and he'd go for that, and the tail would wag. And it's just, oh man, everything. He was just craving milk. And you and I need to crave the word of God like that. As newborn babes, crave the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. I'll tell you, we need, like Saul, to get the word of God and have it just all the time. Very frankly, I'm hungrier today than I was 30 years ago. There's so much in the book to learn. So much that I need. We need to focus on Christ. Just preaching Christ. Just focus on Christ. All the time talking about Christ. As we just need to do that. Yes, amen. Amen. Thank you, ma'am. I got one amener down here in the front row. I got a call about 2 or 3 weeks ago. Not 3 or 4 months ago. Back March time. a guy in Chicago said, "Hey, are you J.O. Purcell? Used to be in Romeoville." I said, "That's me." He said, "I just wanted to talk to you today and just tell you, I'm here with about, I think he said 5, maybe 6,000 kids. And coaches from all over the United States, scouts, and some pro scouts. They've come to Chicago to watch our playoffs." He said, "I came down to Romeoville there one Friday to visit a cousin. And he said, 'Hey, let's go play some ball with the preacher and a bunch of kids.' And they came to our Friday night basketball. We'd meet every Friday night, November. Mike, you remember that? Yeah. Just play ball. Had one or two rules. Number one, you had to listen to me preach. That would drive most of the kids away. But and if you came in, you had to stay. It was a junior high school gym. And we'd just have kids. Guys play ball. Girls came to watch them play ball. He said, "You know, I came down there and I saw you doing that." He said, "I went back to the city of Chicago." He said, if that guy can do that, I can do that." And he started a basketball playing on in a rented gym, or they'll give it to you to use. And he said, "I've developed that there. We've developed that thing all over the city of Chicago." And he said, "We've reached thousands of kids." He said, "We play ball and preach Christ." Isn't that something? I'll tell you, it works. It just works. And you can play dominoes and preach Christ. Get with old people and get with it and just play and preach Christ. It works. Work for Paul. Man alive, that's what he did. He loved Christ. That's so important. That's so important. Isn't it? The love of Christ, Paul said, constrains me, just drives me. We must keep our love for Christ or everything else goes. It's part of it, suffering for Christ. And I'll not tell you any hard luck stories. I've got them. But very frankly, I don't prefer to talk much about them. Paul said to the Corinthian believers, chapter 4, verse 17, "Our light afflictions works for us." So when you have to suffer a little bit, you can say, "Hey, man, I'm going to get profited by this." I can see I didn't sell you on that one. And interestingly, Saul connected with godly men. He went to Jerusalem, joined up with the apostles. There's no substitute for friends in your life. Many of you have really, really helped Juanita and I. You've been a friend. You've helped us. I think this is our 46th conference we've been to. The first one we came to had a neighbor move in. You remember the guy? Walked like this? Carl Hallward. He took a church not far from us when we first started. And he called me one day and said, "J.O., let's meet together." My, what a help. Will Davis came along a little year or two later and helped Juanita and I. There's no substitute for the help of brethren. You are valuable. Our first church grew a little bit and we started a school and got all kinds of help and teachers and workers and just a fun place to be. And I didn't go to our pastor's meeting a time or two, and the guys here at the conference said, "Hey, missed you." I said, "I don't need that anymore." He said, "Did you ever think we need you?" I said, "I never entered my mind. I don't think I ever missed a pastor's fellowship after that. But I knew how valuable others were to me. I hope you are learning how valuable others are to you. And as a fellowship, what a fellowship. Everybody comes to our church, we go visit them and talk to them and invite them to our new members class or new tenders class. And I talk to them about the GARBC. They say, "Well, what on earth is that?" I said, "Listen close, because you'll never forget. It is the Grand Army of the Rebellious Baptist Churches." I appeal to you tonight as a person of God. If God has captured your soul, if you are real, you've met Christ, you've trusted Christ, and you're learning from Christ, I appeal to you to surrender to Him. And I'll tell you, the heavens are the limit of what you can do. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond. Anybody ever laugh? Man, above all that we ask or think. You say, "Yeah, that's what you say." But it begins with, and you know this, I hope you know this, maybe you don't, it begins with a heart, openness, and trust of Christ. And then a heart, surrender, "God, use me, use me." And God can do that. God can do that. That's how He builds His church. That's how the thing just, boom, just grows and grows and grows. Father, help us tonight to just be willing to surrender to You. Commit everything we got to You. Surrender everything we got to You. Commit ourselves to learning all about You and focusing on that the days of our life. I'll never forget in one of these conferences years ago, Mom and I, the preacher said, "Would you be willing to just 100% surrender your life, sell out to Christ?" We were ministering, but boy, we walked forward that night and just said, "Lord, please use us. Please use us." I don't know if you ever do anything like that, but I'd like to invite you to do that. While we sing tonight a hymn, "Living for Jesus, Living for Jesus." Father, help us to not just be hearers of the word, but doers. I pray in Jesus' name. Please stand.